from Acts chapter 20, beginning at the 17th verse. Now from Miletus, Paul sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church to come to him. And when they came to him, they said to him, to them, "You yourselves know how I lived among you the whole time from the first day that I set foot in Asia, serving the Lord with all humility and with tears and with trials that happened to me through the plots of the Jews, how I did not shrink from declaring to you anything that was profitable and teaching you in public and from house to house, testifying both to Jews and to Greeks of repentance towards God and of faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And now behold, I am going to Jerusalem, constrained by the Spirit, not knowing what will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies to me in every city that imprisonment and afflictions await me. But I do not account my life of any value nor as precious to myself, if only I may finish my course and the ministry that I receive from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. And now, behold, I know that none of you among whom I have gone about proclaiming the kingdom will see my face again. Therefore, I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all. I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole counsel of God. Pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. I know after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock, and from among your own selves will arise men speaking twisted things to draw away the disciples after them. Therefore, be alert, remembering that for 3 years I did not cause night or day to admonish everyone with tears. And now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified. I coveted no one's silver or gold or apparel. You yourselves know that these hands ministered to my necessities and to those who were with me. In all things I have shown you that by working hard in this way, we must help the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he himself said, 'It is more blessed to give than to receive.'" The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The psalm, we will read Psalm 23 responsively. It's in your bulletin. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want.
He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters.
He restores my soul.
He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake.
Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me.
Your rod and your staff, they comfort me.
You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies.
You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows.
Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life.
And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Second lesson is from Revelation chapter 7, beginning at the 9th verse. Salvation belongs to our God. After this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God, who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders, and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, "Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Then one of the elders addressed me, saying, "Who are these clothed in white robes, and from where have they come?" I said to him, "Sir, you know." And he said to me, "These are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will shelter them with his presence. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of living water. and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 10th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
At that time, the Feast of Dedication took place at Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was walking in the temple in the colonnade of Solomon. So the Jews gathered around him and said to him, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly." Jesus answered them, "I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name bear witness about me, but you do not believe because you are not part of my flock. My sheep hear my voice, I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one." The Gospel of the Lord. Congregation may be seated. Well, it's good to have you guys all here tonight. I've got a couple of pictures with that I'm going to show you. But first of all, what are we celebrating this weekend? Scarlett, do you know? Mother's Day?
I got this for a bag.
Okay. But what else are we celebrating this weekend? Anybody do any fishing?
Yes.
Yeah? Yes. Fishing opener for some people, right? Wedding anniversaries for some people. Good Shepherd Sunday, where in baptism, Jesus becomes our good shepherd, and we become one of his lambs for life, right? Yeah, so we got a lot to celebrate this weekend, right?
Well,
catching some fish? Didn't catch any fish? Well, come to church. It's a good place to catch fish. Yeah. Jesus is a fisherman. He's always trying to catch fish. Yeah. Uh-huh. I got a couple of pictures here. You see this one here? You know who this is? Anybody? Who is it?
You and your wife.
Huh?
You and your wife.
Me and my wife. Ah. That's actually a very good guess. Yeah? It's my mom and my dad. Do you see what my mom is dressed in? Huh? What is it?
A wedding dress.
This is her wedding dress. Exactly. She got married to my dad, and then they had my sister, and they had me, and then they had my brother. So if my mom and dad didn't get married, if my mom hadn't had me, would I be alive? No. You see, I love my mom. And I thank God every day for my mom and the life that she gave me and how she raised me up in the faith of Jesus along with my dad. Yeah, so this is a picture of my mom and my dad when they got married, right? All right, let me show you another picture. Who is this one of? You see this one? You know who that is?
That's my mom, my aunt, my uncle, and...
Yeah, it's a picture of my mom. Yeah. This is my mom when she got married. This is my mom when my wife and I were married, and we had your Uncle Joshua and your Auntie Rachel and your mom. Yeah, you know, if you didn't have... You see, if my mom and dad didn't get married and have me, then I wouldn't have had three kids, and my three kids wouldn't have had seven grandkids. Yeah, you see, I love my mom, and I miss my mom. She's in heaven with Jesus, but someday when I get to see Jesus, I'll get to see my mom and dad and all the people that are lambs in the flock of Jesus, and he's the good shepherd. Do you remember what happened on Thursday, Scarlett? I came over to your house, and you were sitting at the table, and you were writing something and making something. You remember what that was? You were writing a message to your mom and making a card for her. Why?
Because it was for Mother's Day.
For Mother's Day, right? Yeah. I love my mom. You love your moms, right? Yeah, you, because if we don't have moms, we can't be here, right? Okay, now, you were also sad that day. Why? Do you remember why you were sad? Because you said, Mom left and I didn't get a chance to say goodbye to her. I said, that's not a problem. I pulled out my phone. I said, we'll just send her a text. And I said, what do you want to tell her? And you said, bye, Mom. I love you so much. Remember that? And she got that message. You look at her out there, see? She got that message, right? Moms never get tired of having their kids say, Mom, I love you. Moms are like shepherds, aren't they? They teach us about the love of Jesus, and they give us the love of Jesus. How many people out there do you think never had a mom? Anybody out there never have a mom? Ha ha, they had to have had a mom, right? Otherwise, they wouldn't have been here. And you know what? Not only did God give me a mom, God has given me lots of other moms in my life too. Because anytime you've got a person that loves you with the love of Jesus and teaches you about Jesus, they get to be like Jesus, the Good Shepherd. They get to be like a mom and a dad here in this world. So whether you know it or not, we got a whole bunch of moms out here. Laura's like a mom in my life. Right, Laura? So her kids have to share her with me. It's just the way it is, right? And we live in a congregation where there's lots of sheep and there's lots of dads, but there's lots of moms and sisters and aunts and grandmas too. So let's thank Jesus for all the moms, okay? Let's pray. Dear Jesus, thanks for giving me my mom. And lots of mothers too. Help me to love others the way you love me, especially my mom. Amen. Thanks for coming up. The King of Love, my shepherd is, whose goodness faileth never. I nothing lack if I am his, and he is mine forever. Now, you probably thought that was a mistake, right? But actually, Don did that on purpose back there because we wanted to show you that even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. Why? Because thou art with me. I mean, let's face it. Satan is always going to be throwing curves into our lives. He's always going to be trying to trip us up because the last thing that Satan wants is what? For God's people to gather together for worship to hear the proclamation of God's good news, whether it be a problem with the sound system or something else. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. Why? Because thou art with me. The King of Love, my shepherd is. His goodness doesn't ever fail. The Lord is my shepherd. That's the way Psalm 23 begins. And it ends with, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You see how in six verses, in only six verses, confident faith is proclaimed and sung and prayed in six verses. And the psalm is like brackets because the first word is Lord and the last word is Lord. The Lord is my shepherd and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And in the middle of the psalm, beginning at verse 4, thou art with me. The witness of God, Emmanuel, in daily life, no matter what kind of storms come our way. The psalmist, David, greatest king of Israel, David began this prayer, this creed, this confession of faith by talking about God. But did you notice that when the psalm was read responsively tonight, that there's a movement from talking about God to speaking directly to God. The Lord is my shepherd. I will dwell in his house forever. But in the middle, a very personal word. You are with me. You, O Lord, you. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies, the greatest enemy being sin, and the table, the supper of our Lord, where we receive the atoning sacrifice for our sins. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy, your goodness, your mercy, will follow me all the days of my life. That's what the psalmist does. The psalmist is moving from talking about God to actually proclaiming the goodness of God in an I-thou relationship. From about God to speaking directly to God. Thou art with me. A few years ago, the Des Moines Register newspaper in Iowa sent out a solicitation asking people to respond to, send us your stories about Mom. And so one woman, her name is Donna, sent in a story talking about the comfort and love and support that she got from her mom. And this is what happened. Donna said, when I started school and I was a kindergartner, I was scared. I was afraid to go to school on my first day. My mom took me there. She dropped me off. And I was just shaking with fear. My mother did this. She took off her wedding ring. She put it in my stocking, and she said, here, I'm going to leave my wedding ring with you, and you will know that I am with you all day long. And you'll know for sure that I'm coming back at the end of the day to get you. Who does that? Who does that with a little five-year-old starting kindergarten? Well, a mom does. A good shepherd does. David, Israel's greatest king, was the eighth son of Jesse. He was a shepherd boy. And in 1 Samuel chapter 16, David gets anointed as king of Israel. It says in 1 Samuel 16 that the Spirit of the Lord came upon David, and then it says that the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, Israel's first king. David was anointed by God to be a king, and in Israel that meant that he was called by God to be a shepherd of God's flock. That's what it meant to be a king. That's what it meant to be a ruler, to shepherd, to care for, to protect the sheep entrusted to you. Well, in 1 Samuel chapter 17, Jesse sends his son David to go to the Wadi Elah, where there's a stalemate of sorts because the Philistines and the Israelites are in war. And you may remember that story in 1 Samuel chapter 17 because there's this great, big, huge man called Goliath from Gath, over 10 feet tall. And every day, in the morning and at night, he taunts the Israelites and says, are you all cowards? Isn't anyone among you willing to come and fight me? It's like a duel, a challenge, where winner takes all. I'll fight for the Philistines, and one of you Israelites, your choice, you can fight me, and whoever wins, well, the rest of the lives are spared. Winner takes all. And David has been sent by his father to bring provisions to his three brothers who are, well, soldiers in Saul's army. David gets there, and he hears the taunting of Goliath. And David is appalled that no one is going to stand up for the Lord. And so David says, I'll take on that challenge. Now remember, the deck is stacked against David, because David is just somebody who takes care of sheep. He's just a kid. And Saul is a seasoned warrior. Goliath is a seasoned warrior. Now, Saul takes his armor and is going to put it on David, but it weighs like 100, 125 pounds, and so David says, I can't do this. But you don't have to worry, because I've fought a lot of battles. There's been bear, and there's been lions, and they tried to get after the sheep, and I put myself right there in front of them. You see, David is familiar with the rod, maybe 2 feet long, made out of oak, carved out of a knot of a tree, and then all kinds of metal pieces in it, like a club. And he's familiar with a staff, where if a lamb is down and you can't reach it, you can hook it. And David is familiar with another weapon, his sling. So David goes down into the Wadi Elah to face Goliath, and he picks up 5 smooth stones in the valley of Elah. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. Thou art with me. Well, you know how the story goes. Goliath just laughs, because here's this puny little punk that's going to try to take him on. And David looks at him right in the face, and David says, you realize today you're going to return to the dust. And you're going to lose this battle, because the Lord is going to give you over into my hands, because you have defiled his name. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And David said, when I've defeated you, I'm going to cut off your head. And David wins, and Goliath loses in the valley of the shadow of death. We fear no evil, because thou art with me. You're with me, Lord. You see what David is saying? He's not talking about God. He's talking, speaking, addressing directly to God. Because David has a relationship with the Lord. And that's what God wants with each one of us. He doesn't want us to talk about him. He wants us to abide with him, to be in a relationship with him, a trusting relationship. Now, I know that when you start off with this psalm, everything sounds kind of idyllic. I mean, green pastures, still waters, restored souls. But by the time we get to verse 4, we realize that there's a table prepared in the presence of our enemies, and that there are, in fact, valleys of the shadow of death. Shadows. What do you think about shadows? Well, can the shadow of a dog bite you? Can the shadow of a gun kill you? Dr. Barnhouse, who is a pastor of 10th Presbyterian Church in Philadelphia, was returning home after the funeral of his wife. And with his small children, and as a pastor, he wanted to somehow help his children understand the promise and certainty of the resurrection, the gift of Easter. But he couldn't figure out a way to do that. And then all of a sudden, as they're driving on the freeway, there is a big moving van that passes by them. And as it does, the shadow of that moving van comes over them. And so Dr. Barnhouse looks at his kids and he says, let me ask you a question. Would you rather be run over by that big moving van semi or by its shadow? And the kid said, well, Dad, the shadow, of course, because it's not real and it can't hurt us. You see, all of a shadow is, it's just something that gets in the way of the light. But the light is still there. and the shadow has no permanence. And then Dr. Barnhart told his kids, you know, 2,000 years ago, death ran over Jesus so that only its shadow can touch us now. That's why St. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, the perishable has to put on the imperishable. The mortal has to put on immortality. And when it happens, then shall come to pass the saying that is written down. O death, where is thy victory? O death, where is thy sting? The sting of death is sin. The power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. This is David's confession of faith, his confidence in God. He's been there. Or, if you want to hear a story of others who have walked through the valley, read the book of Acts or chapter 20, when St. Paul is saying goodbye to his beloved friends, the elders at Ephesus, a congregation that he was present at for 3 years. And it is Paul who says, I don't know what's going to be ahead for me. I only know that everything that I've encountered in the past, all of the sufferings and persecutions and challenges, all I know is that there's imprisonment and persecution awaiting me. And then he speaks about how the flock will be tested also. And in chapter 20, Paul says, so watch out. Guard and care for the sheep that have been entrusted to you, because the wolf, the evil one, disguised as a wolf, wants to do what? Devour the flock. David knows what life in the valley is like, in the presence of enemies, where Saul was out to get him all the time. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, because you are with me, God, and I trust you. A grandmother in Burundi was holding two pictures. This was a devotional a couple years back in Our Daily Bread. The one picture is her daughter. The other picture is her grandson. And then with tears in her eyes, she says, the day my grandson was born, my daughter died in childbirth. And then there was a woman standing nearby her who had just lost her son 2 months earlier. And she just simply walked over to her, took her head, her face in her hands, and she wept with her. And she said, I know. I know. The Lord is my shepherd, and the sheep know what it's like to walk through the valley of the shadow of death. There was another woman who lost all of her family except for her two littlest daughters in the genocide of Rwanda in 1984. And she was telling her story, and it became a devotional in Our Daily Bread. And in her story, she said, as a widow, I was trying to raise my two kids to provide food and lodging, to take care of them, schooling. There were two other children who didn't have a mom or a dad, so I adopted them, and I took care of them, and I trusted that God would always provide, because I realized that no matter what problem or suffering came my way, I knew my Jesus will take care of this. My Jesus will take care of this. I got an email this past week from Voice of the Martyrs. Maybe some of you get their magazine or their emails. and they were asking for prayers for three men, three brothers in the Lord in eastern India. They had been in jail for 11 months, and finally, through a lawyer with Voice for the Martyrs, they were set free. But they're still awaiting trial. You know why they were put in prison? Because the three of them, one of whom had only been a Christian for a month, heard that a friend of theirs, his wife, was very ill. So they prayed for her. And then she died. And so they blamed the three Christians. You know, Christians in India are persecuted intensely. They blamed the three Christians for praying for this woman and causing her to die. Now, they were worried about the youngest one who had just been a Christian, only 27 years old, for only a month. Would he survive in prison? So every day, the three brothers in the Lord got together for prayer and mutual encouragement. And then as the Lord opened doors in the prison, they ministered to the other prisoners. And 13 prisoners became Christians and followers of Jesus. Now, they've been released, but they're still waiting trial. And if they are found guilty for the charge of praying a woman's murder, then they'll spend the rest of their life in prison. God's people, God's sheep, know what it's like to walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Do we know what it's like to fear no evil? Because thou art with me. It's David's story. It's David's prayer. It's David's song. But Psalm 23 has also become our song and our prayer. We who are sheep, who confess that Jesus is the Good Shepherd. The door that leads to the sheepfold. The Good Shepherd, Jesus says, lays down his life for the sheep. I came that you might have life, have it abundantly. But the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I know my own. My own know me. I call them by name. And no one can snatch them out of my hands. The Father who has given them to me, Jesus declares, is greater than all, and no one can snatch them out of my Father's hands. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. The Father and I are one. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The Lord is my shepherd, and the Lord is my host. He prepares a table for me in the presence of my enemy sin. My cup runs over. And surely, indeed, mercy and goodness will pursue me all the days of my life. A few years back, in England, a group of Christians gathered together, and there was a famous actor there, and so they asked him, would you be willing to do some recitation for us? Public oration. And the actor agreed to do it. He said, what would you like me to recite, to share with you? And everyone was silent. And then the elderly clergyman, he said, how about Psalm 23? And so the actor looked at the elderly clergyman, and he said, I will, on one condition, that when I finish, that you too will share the 23rd Psalm. And so the pastor agreed. Well, the actor who was trained in oration was superb. Articulated, enunciation, pausing in all the right places, and when he got done, all the people were applauding. It was magnificent. And then it was the elderly clergyman's turn. And he wasn't so eloquent, and he kind of stammered and stuttered a bit.
And when he got done, there was no applause. But there wasn't a dry tear in the place. And many heads were bowed. The actor, with tears in his own eyes, came over and placed his hands on the elderly clergyman. And he said, "I reached them. They heard me with their eyes and their ears. But you reached their hearts." And then he spoke to the people and said, "I know the 23rd Psalm, but the pastor knows the shepherd." That's the question that Psalm 23 is asking each one of us tonight. Do you know the 23rd Psalm? Do you know the shepherd? The Lord is my shepherd, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. For thou art with me. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I invite you to rise as you are able.